Hello there, listeners and viewers. This is Ron Stefanski from DisruptEd. And guess what? We are here. We have moved into the building. We are at New Lab, the place where it's all happening in Detroit, the city I was born in, the city I return to, the city that I love, and the city that I am so animated about watching us refuel our resurgence. And one of the major locations for all this activity is in New Lab, which is connected to the Michigan Central Innovation Campus, right next door to the iconic Michigan Central train station, which was just reopened in June. I'm going to be hosting DisruptEd here in the New Lab building adjacent, which was formerly the book depository for the Detroit Public School District. And before that, it was a U.S. Postal Office. So we're really excited to be here. Why? Because I can't explain it any other way than to say there is an eye-popping amount of energy and innovation going on in this building like you've never seen. I have brought dozens of people here since it opened in March, and they all say the same thing. What a cool space, what cool people in there. I can't believe all the energy that's connecting people there. And so we're going to be doing that. That's what Disrupted in the D is going to be about, is telling all the stories that make this place sing. Stay tuned. You're going to be hearing a lot more from us. All right, listeners and viewers, Ron Stefanski back here on DisruptEd with my guest, Ademola Fagati, the CEO and founder of GeoPrime Energy. And what we found in the first episode was that we had more to talk about, as this young man and this young talented science and engineer is charting an entrepreneurial course to making the planet better and more sustainable. And we just started getting into it when we were running out of time. So I invited him back and he said, okay, we're not done yet. So we're right back now, episode 3, to talk more about what's going on in this business. And Ademola, I want to give you a wider berth to share your vision for where you're going with GeoPrime Energy. So take it away.
Thank you, Ron. I'm glad to be back. Can't believe it's 3 episodes already. Second episode, I spoke a little bit about modular microgrids. We're very excited about it. And we're also working on huge collaborations with, different energy companies and also, middle to small cities that will be interested in, taking control of their grid, right? Or just optimizing the grid using a microgrid, modular microgrid strategy. But we also involved in some other amazing business units. So we just, in our journey of creating this company, we realized, sourcing talent, right, to handle high value projects is one of the hardest things any company can go through. Like, sometimes the turnover is just so high that it disrupts like very important projects and you just don't know what to do. So as a founder, personally, I struggle with hiring, right? And so I utilized Tech Town Detroit's resources to do my customer discovery, right? So when I was starting my company, I interviewed 130 energy leaders, validate my idea, test my hypothesis, and make sure I'm, deriving the right solutions for the right problems. And so, that exposed me to a lot of help, a lot of programs that they offer, like the UpSports program, of which, they helped me manage my employees, HR, accountant. They have so many resources out there for founders, to utilize and to help them grow and scale faster. And so I thought, hey, I need talent. I am working on getting, the best talent, right? And for instance, if I get awarded another great contract, I need to be able to say, yes, this is my best engineers. They're properly vetted.
You can actually do it, right?
No, exactly. And so, so Tech Town has been able to help me do that, source and vet these talents really well. And then, Npower, they have resources that can help, take some of the training models that we've created at GeoPrime Energy and teach it to this talent and make sure they're actually in perfect shape. So there's a whole silence, there's a whole science to, ensuring that, people are, at top performance, they're able to, actually deliver with high value projects, right? So the idea here is to, develop a very, you know, intricate system, a very, you know, almost fail-proof system that would involve very high-level people, right? You know, I'm an industrial and systems engineer. I am big on eliminating waste, right? If you can do something to tweak a process, you know, optimize it, and you know the ripple effect would save costs, make it more safe, more efficient, you know, more compliant, then do it. Plan, right? Do all it takes in the beginning, you know, take that time and sharpen your axe before you start to cut down the tree. You know, that's kind of like my model. I know that's from an Abraham Lincoln quote.
I like that analogy. That's a great one.
Yeah. So the you know, workforce development business unit is a very key component because, you know, once we start to deploy our microgrids, we want to start at underserved communities, right? We want to go to rural areas of which, you know, if, you know, we have storm season here in Detroit, and once the storms come in, you know, everyone starts to ramble. The DTE, consumers, ITC, they ramble, right? They source talent from everywhere because everyone's hands on deck trying to fix problems, right? If we have our modular microgrids, we take some of that pressure off their hands, right? You know, we don't care to be competitors. We definitely want to be collaborators. But as we do that, we want to make sure, like, the communities that we're serving, they're providing power to, that we're able to utilize the workforce in that community, empower the youth of that community. How do we do that? We source them. We hire them, we train them, we make them fit for the role, right? Whether they have a GED or they have a master's degree, we can work with just every level of education and make them right for the job, right? So that's what we're about. It's a way to also, like, you know, make sure we're paying attention to our community, to our environment, where we're finding ways to give back, you know, some of the trainings and certificates that we're offering through Empower, which is a nonprofit, is free, right? And then, you know, depending on where we are, we also find ways to, like, you know, actually pay these employees. So you're basically getting paid to get a certificate to get a job, right? And so, you know, God willing, we're able to properly
deploy. That training model and that workforce model is changed up based on the talent needs of tech companies like yours. Now, if you had any conversations with Johnny and Alexa at Black Tech Saturdays, because to me, they're really reinventing, you know, they're rewriting the script as well. They're bringing together our entrepreneurial Black tech community, and they're bringing them together to do the kind of networking that puts people into jobs, or you find people there, or you find someone that's interested in funding a startup in your area. You know, so I think that ecosystem, to your point in our last episode, talking about it's just starting here at New Lab, I think that's going to be a potent force for managing the talent going forward in this arena. And Detroit is getting really good at attracting people here because of the quality of life that we're improving upon. I think we need to do that.
I completely agree. You know, and Johnny and Alexa, Black Tech Saturdays has been electric. I met a lot of great people through those events. And I think what they're doing would make a global impact eventually. You know, I love their work. I love their passion. I see them all the time. I ran into them in the elevator just yesterday. Great people. Like, you know,
they are great people.
I have a story about Johnny. You know, we're very well acquainted, but I was working at New Lab at 2 a.m and usually I work and, you know, the lights are automatically turn off, and so I actually like when that happens because I just, you know, zoom in and just lock in and just keep working. I have my headphones on, the world is shut, you know, I'm just me and my work. And I felt a little breeze.
I'm just trying to imagine that. You hovered over in a dark corner.
I'm literally on my table. I'm like just working away. And I, you know, just like the horror stories, you hear, you feel something. Like, I was like, okay, I'm no. And then I looked again, and there it was, Johnny, handfuls on, pacing, back and forth. I'm like, whoa, this guy's a killer. This guy's a killer. You know, a shark knows a shark. Wow, great work they're doing. Great work. You can tell by the results, by the energy that they put into their work. You know, I love it. And I think they're changing lives. And it's very important work. I'm glad they're getting all the support that they're getting. This is amazing.
You know, but that you know, the other point that you're making about them is one that I saw firsthand when I met them. I was there for their first inaugural Black Tech Saturday. And, you know, there were two things that were noteworthy about it. One, there were about 30 or 40 people there. But two, based on the way they were shaping the event and bringing people together in that room, I thought, You know, this is going to attract a lot of interest. And you could literally see the audiences grow so that they haven't had their first event in 2025. They're not having it till last week in January. And I can just tell you, there's going to be thousands of people for it now. Yes. I mean, it's just become, you're right, it's become electric. And at a time when we have to find different ways of sourcing talent, for this city to truly be inclusive, we have so many people that we can bring into the world of work. Mm-hmm. And I love your model of paying people to learn. I think a lot of companies are moving in that direction simply because they can't afford to wait. I mean, if you get a big contract, you have to have tier one players and 100. Engineers ready to go on a high 100. Value project. You can't pretend at
I
that
cannot
point.
Afford, exactly. I cannot afford to, you know, dilly-dally. I cannot afford to take a chance. So guess what? I have created a system of which, you know, I have a specific need and I have the right training, the right people to manage the personnel, the right people to train the personnel, and the right job for the personnel, right? It's spelled out for you. There's no excuse. There's no reason why you shouldn't be efficient, right? You know, we're doing this in the most, I've started a new rule before. You know, everyone starts a new rule sometimes and it's like, okay, I got to do well. It's day one. How do I focus? How do I not mess this up, right? Okay, I get it, you know, but I know how to make sure you don't mess it up. I know how to hold your hand from the beginning. I know how to make sure I find your greatest strengths and I capitalize on that and help you achieve what you need to. And, you know, I want to make sure if you come into my organization and you work for us, you work for all of our clients and you do a great job, you're not just leaving with income, you're leaving with knowledge. You're leaving with inspiration. You're leaving with innovation. Look at what DTE did to me. Look at what Consumers Energy did to me, right? In so many ways, they made me who I am, right? That might have been by chance, but I want to make sure I do it more intentionally with these employees. So the workforce development side of things is, you know, it's something that I have a lot of help with. I'm very grateful to TechTown and Empower, for the partnership and, you know, for their business. now, the other side is just, you know, just consulting. I've had amazing leads with, you know, developments in, you know, South America and Africa. Like, everyone wants to leapfrog. Everyone is interested in that. I come from a country where I read for exams. I studied for exams with candlelight, right? Keep this in mind. We are one of the biggest energy producers in Nigeria. We have one of the biggest dams, Kanji Dam. We supply to three or four neighboring countries, and they have stable electricity. So we sell them electricity, but we don't. We don't have stable electricity. Why? Not because we don't generate enough, right? But the infrastructure. We're lacking infrastructure, right? The terrain of Nigeria is very beautifully made, but also in a very selfish way, right? It was made such in a way that the resources leads to the ports, right? It was built by the British. And they're able to build a way to siphon resources to the ports, right? That's just how it was back in the day, but it does not mean we cannot innovate, right? So it's just seeing just how much, you know, poor grid infrastructure can impact a great nation like Nigeria. It's inevitable in the West as well, right? One of DTE's, one of, you know, the Western companies' biggest energy problem is, you know, distribution. Distribution operation is very complicated, right? You need a simple transformer to distribute to substations, then to, you know, other neighborhood transformers, then to residentials. It's just, yes, it's a little difficult. It's a little, it's costly as well. But how do you maintain that? How do you keep up with the weather that keeps knocking down these pylons, that keeps causing us disruptions? What do you do? Modular microgrids. It's a no-brainer. Right? This is a chance for us to like leave, fossil fuel generation beside, right? And tackle multiple problems, different fronts, right? So another business unit, which was where I was coming to, was just, you know, consulting. We consult for, you know, so many companies. Like, you know, we can't do it all ourselves, but, you know, we're able to like give insights, share our systems and say, hey, this is what you do. This is what you need to do. This information, be great, right? So how do we make money? We can either like, you know, facilitate for microgrids, develop the microgrids, consult, supply talent, supply software, right? Create partnerships for energy companies, for institutions. But You know, obviously, we would like to be, you know, at the core. We'd like to be the GC. We'd like to actually build it. And we're working on different fronts to find ways to, like, pilot our first hydrogen microgrid. I think it'll be life-changing. I think it'll be amazing if we do that here in Michigan, here in Detroit. I have leads in Nigeria, by the way. I have leads in you know, South America, but I want to do it in Detroit. You know, this would be...
I love that. Yeah. I love that. You know, Detroit is not old smokestack. It is new, and the future is electric. And it's because of people and leaders like you, Adamola, who are just thinking way outside. You know, it's a euphemism, way outside the box. You're thinking way outside the grid, you know. And, you know, it's interesting because most people don't give energy a lot of thought until it's not stably and effectively delivered. And you touched upon the way that's hurting Nigeria. You know, they're giving away energy or exporting energy to other countries, but they can't meet their own needs. You know, and I think when you look at grid challenges like we have in Texas, for example, you know, we only start thinking about how important energy delivery is and how important sustainability is when we don't have it, right? And so what you're doing is just so important and so exciting. And your energy for my hometown is just palpable, and I love it. So
you almost lost more me. To talk Ron. About. Yes, so you almost lost me. I would have to tell you, you mentioned Texas, and it came right back. 2017, I almost moved to Houston. 2021, it almost happened again, right? You're right. You know, Houston is in some ways highlanded, disconnected from the North American grid, and that's an opportunity for them to leapfrog, and they're being extremely innovative. But this is not a Houston problem. This is a global problem, right? Just mentioning Houston, like, it might make sense for geoprimary to move to Houston, right? But, like, Detroit has its own problems, and I do want to see a future where geoprime energy starts in Detroit and helps Detroit, you know, achieve amazing metrics in renewable energy. Amazing. Like, I don't want to make promises, but, like, it's not too bad to dream to say 100% renewable energy for our children, for our grandchildren, right? We're not destroying our atmosphere anymore. We're not, you know, burning fossil fuels, right? And, you know, energy's cheaper. It's cleaner. It's
true. You're right.
Like, why not? I don't want to get too political about things because, you know, this is for the public. But, like, you know, Detroit is one of the most polluted cities in America. It shouldn't be. You know why? You know why it shouldn't be? We also have 20% of the world's freshest water. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. So why are we when you think about the impact of global warming, we are going to become a destination for many, many more people. Why? Yes. Because the weather is going to moderate here and we're not going to have 9 degree days anymore. It's going to get warmer. But we also have one of the most important resources on the planet. We have the biggest fresh water supply. You're absolutely right. So that's my prediction, is more people, you know, when we were asked 10 years ago, why Detroit? You know, people thought we were crazy for moving down here. And I think the question is going to be different over the next 5 to 10 years. It's going to be, why not? Why aren't you in Detroit?
Yes. That's why the visionaries are here. The people that are able to, like, see past their own, you know, their current future. I mean, you know, like, their own goals and ambitions. Like, I want to create a better world for my children, for my grandchildren, and for their peers, right? That's how you make real impact. You know, you're thinking 3, 4, 5 generations ahead of you. That's how you make real impact, in my opinion, right? You mentioned Bill Ford, you know, bless his heart, bless his family's heart. They've made a lot of impact, right? And I think they're also paving a way for, you know, other people that can dream.
Right. They're setting the stage for bringing together other people to take it to the next level. I mean, Bill Ford said it when he announced the plans to buy the new lab building and to buy the train station. He said, you know, he had spent time in California on the board of eBay. And what he found is that there was a whole mobility ecosystem developing on the West Coast that knew nothing about Detroit. And he's like, my grandfather invented mobility back in Detroit. You guys don't know anything about it. The VCs didn't know anything about it. Manufacturers didn't know anything about it. And so he decided we need to create energy and a coming together and a collective place where this talent can demonstrate to the world what we're able to do. So yes. I think it's just very, very powerful.
Yes, I agree. Very powerful. And I'm inspired every day by it. I mean, this transition is amazing. It's beautiful. I want to get into the software component of you know, the work that we're doing.
Yeah, so let's wrap on that, because the software you're developing is really going to help scale your business, right? Because others are going to be able to use this as a solution to deliver on some of the things you've been working on as a consultant in these organizations.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. The software is called Cinefox, right? It's an AI integrated tool. It's you know, an amazing component of different solutions, right? We have a librarian system that we've created, right, for AI to essentially draw from and execute on the planning phase of high-value projects, execute on, you know, just cost mitigation, compliance, you know, safety protocols, all the mundane tasks, all the things that can be streamlined, all the things that we would need based on our librarian system. And our librarian system is essentially everything you need to know about the project. It goes in, breaks it down, then creates a digital twin of that project, then runs simulation. This is before the project starts, right? So Cinefox runs simulation. If you decommission unit A before unit B, this is what happens. This is how to go. These are the systems in place. This was the actual GC when it was built. You have all the data. You're crunching all the data. You're doing all the math. This network switch was Schneider, was ABB. This is how to decouple it. It is running that simulation. You run the model, and it shows you the key roadblocks, right? And then the corresponding solutions is what you should do. And then you and the stakeholders come and say, hey, okay, these are the problems we're going to find when we do this. This is how we solve the problems. This is before it starts, right? Typically,
right.
You know, typically you say, okay, he's an expert in this. He's an expert in that. Let's go at the problem. And this is why decommissioning costs increased about 40% in the last 3 years. We're not talking about just labor and whatnot, but it's just the more companies try to decommission power plants, like the increase in cost is exponential. It's very drastic, right? So according to our research, we're looking at 80 to 150 million to decommission a power plant. That is ridiculous. That's wild, right? Keep in mind, decommissioned power plants does not have an immediate ROI. You tear this power plant down to code, right. You know, crawling NERC. What do you do next? You spent that money. What do you do next, right? And so
you have an empty plot of land and nothing producing on it.
Exactly, right? And I'll give you a couple of examples in a minute. So we come in and we're able to say, hey, don't treat this as one project. Treat this as repurposing. So you're not just decommissioning. You are repurposing a power plant, right? We have used our software, our system, to plan, to create a simulation, a digital world simulation, and say, hey, this is what you do. And this is how you take this, you know, junk and you turn it into sustainable energy. You generate sustainable energy, right? So you're able to be able to repurpose a lot of the equipment, a lot of the infrastructure to generate hydrogen, biogas, geothermal, batteries, of course, solar panels, of course, when it's applicable, right? Instead of just tearing it down, instead of just, you know, then thinking later what to do after we decommission the power plant, because that's what I see happening here, right? I saw River Rouge, no aftermath. St. Clair was great, could have been better, right? Trenton is now a battery plant, storing battery. But those batteries only last for so long, right? Is that the best use of the land? I don't know. Right. And so, you know, I see the opportunity for innovation, and I'm able to, like, you know, just create a solution, a system that would work for it. Right. So that's our and at the core of our offerings, that's what we would do for the energy industry. You know, I got approached by a great mentor of mine that, you know, discussed tier one auto parts and how they need to, you know, transform and need to, like, you know, they have warehouses where they create certain parts and they need to either decommission it. They're not sure. These things are rotting away, right? You know, this is Motor City. And, you know, we have, you know, industries.
So in other words, it's not just the energy plants that need to be decommissioned. So
initially it was. This is why the entity had to split, right? So initially it was. But, like, when I have people approaching me like, hey, I like that idea, but can you apply it to this industry, right? I pitched to Terry Grimm, CEO of Nightwave, and he told me, "Hey, this is great, but can you replicate this for pharmaceuticals, for the medical industry?" I'm like, "Oh," and I thought to myself, this was last summer. I thought to myself, "I could, but I don't think I want to. This is an energy company, you know." But like with time and with more and more people approaching me, I said, "Hey, this is not about just energy. This is about like sustainability. This is about efficiency."
It is about sustainability, right? Ultimately, so it absolutely is.
Yes. And so, you know, Synafox is a skeleton, right, of which you can fit any body into it. You know, body meaning any industry, right? So it's the same process, a Liberian system, you know, a way to translate that Liberian system, right, create digital twins, and then you just duplicate that in the real world. There is no better way to be efficient. There's no better way to plan. There's no better way to streamline the process to make sure costs are low. You know, we're bolstering 30% reduction in decommissioning costs, 100% compliance, right? Compliance is a numbers game.
Yeah.
If compliance is telling you, hey, if NERC says, do this, this, and this, and that, and nothing goes wrong, and you follow it book by book, nothing will go wrong. If not, guess what? You get fined up to $1 million a day. You get fined up to hundreds of millions of dollars if you do not meet compliance, right? Safety. You want all the people working in this plant, in this high value project, to go home to their families, to go home safe. We're able to, like, you know, offer solutions within our platform to help, you know, operators.
Make sure that, yeah, so make sure that that actually happens and that it's implemented properly.
And then cost is important as well. You know, companies always worried about their overhead. They don't want to, you know, lose money to just time wasted and excessive manpower or just, you know, just waste in general. We have a lot of, just think about as an IE, right? Just think about all the tools that I've had over the years that I've been exposed to, that have been given to me. And we're able to streamline all of that. I'm talking literally everything that I can do for any company as an industrial engineer will be in a software, will be able to be streamlined. Point my software to a problem. We break it down. We've created root cause analysis. We've created something as simple as your project charter, your documents, compliance documents. Everything is done. And then you just come. We're able to, like, you know, break the usability into four different phases, right? The operator, the manager, the leader, and the owner, right? The operators are more hands-on. Any project, any industry, they're more hands-on. They have a different, a platform, different facing platform than the owner, who needs to plan in a bigger scale, who needs to do more, you know, numbers crunching. So, you know, they have a lot of, tracking, a lot of technology, you know, just increased visibility capabilities to be able to get help from, you know, their leaders, right? They don't have to wait for the next team meeting next week or 2 weeks from now to give status report. It's increased visibility.
Anyone, a lot of this real time in front of them, right on the screen, you know, that's the exciting part about it. So yes. To our listening and viewing audience, you've been listening to Damola Fagati, CEO, founder of Geo Prime Energy. What I can geek out with you all day, Damola. So I'm gonna say we're gonna do this again soon.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, if you've been listening and watching, come on with us. Get disrupted with us. Come down to the D. Come down to New Lab and check it out and come visit us, because as Adamola has said, there are just amazing people down here doing amazing things, and you've been listening to one of them. Adamola, I can't thank you enough for spending time with me this morning. It has been great catching up with you, and I'm sure we're going to have many, many more opportunities to continue this conversation. For those of you out there, get disrupted with us, engage with us, send us your comments, your feedback, and keep coming back for more. Thanks. I'm your host, Ron Stefanski. Until the next time, let's get disrupted. Take care, my friends.